going on, everybody? Welcome to Canucks Corner. I'm Andrew. We got Steve, Zach with us once again. How you boys doing?
Oh man, no. How are you? You got the big news.
You're
the big
man. Congratulations.
Talk about how I'm doing.
Yeah, nobody cares about us.
Yeah, what the hell? This time we got to switch it up. You get to go first, Andrew.
I get to go first.
Wow. Yeah. So do you want to say it or do you want us to tell everyone?
Well, I could say it, yeah. So last weekend, the girlfriend and I went out to Whistler and I proposed, popped the big question.
What'd she say? Married?
She said yes. Yeah, that's why I'm so happy. I mean, couldn't imagine the other way. That would have sucked.
It's a long way drive home. That's why you always wait till the last day before you propose. You don't want to screw it up the first couple of days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's been awkward. It's awesome. We just moved in together here. And it was great, man. It was an awesome time. I didn't really plan anything. Like, I didn't even know where I was going to do it. I just kept it in my pocket and I waited for the right moment. And yeah, we stayed in Creekside Village. And we decided in that morning we were going to walk to Whistler Village. It's about an hour walk. It's called the Valley Road or something like that. Valley Trail. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it goes along like three lakes. It's about an hour walk, but it's beautiful. And it was snowing and everything was perfect. The lakes were frozen. And we actually went around the corner. I saw this dock and I was going to do it there. And then there's people there and she's like really like shy. So like there was one rule and it was like not in front of people.
Yeah.
So I went around in front of these other houses and there's actually like this altar made out of cement, like mm-hmm. right on the waterfront. It was so cool. You'll see. Oh, I actually have posted a photo. Yeah. So anyways, I saw it and I was like, this is it. So yeah, it was perfect.
That's awesome.
It
all really worked out. It's just like, you're just like, boom, that's the spot.
Yeah.
Like clicked in. You're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah, it's perfect. So
that's awesome, man.
Now the journey begins. The fun stuff, the wedding planning. And we'll probably do that in the summer.
Hey, you guys just got your place too, all moved in.
Mm. Yeah.
Big thanks for Bronny.
The only thing advice I give you is don't stress too much about the wedding. It's not worth going into debt for one day. Like when I got married, like the nerves and everything over the proposal were there, but we both kind of agreed like we didn't want anything too crazy for the wedding. Like there's no point in hamstringing yourselves into a marriage or adding stress by doing some big show.
Amen. Especially in this market.
Yeah. And honestly, with COVID and everything and the way like weddings have gone like to the way of virtual, is we're honestly just thinking we might just do family, like immediate family only in Ireland. Her parents' brothers, my parents' brothers in Ireland, throw it on Facebook Live, call it a day.
Yeah.
If you want to check it out, check it out. If not, that's cool. Yeah. You know, that's probably what we'll do.
That's awesome, man.
That's kind of sweet. She really does want to do a ceremony in Ireland as well, which so do I. It'd be cool. Get a castle or something. I don't know.
Go low-key on the wedding. Oh, we're going to go to a castle.
It's affordable there, man, though. They're everywhere.
Oh, okay. That's castle? Different then.
We'll just rock up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You like, oh, buy a castle in like a cul-de-sac?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I'm happy for you, man. That was exciting to read.
Thanks, boys. Yeah. Thanks for that post. That was awesome. He is the best.
That was all Steve. I had nothing to do with it. So
yeah, Steve's the man. And Julie, she was all blushing and stuff.
Well, that's good.
So
that's good. At least something to make her smile on our fantasy football team. So
oh, geez, man. Zach, you don't know this, but she's getting rocked. She drafted third overall and had the best draft. She was projected to finish first in league. She's like
beat
2-10.
Andrew first week. Week one,
she crushed me.
Yeah, oh, right. No. Oh, geez.
And then Julie's lost. She's lost every other week. She's like 2-10.
Poor girl.
Injuries have really hurt her.
Injuries. Guys just quitting football for mental health reasons.
But yeah, anyways, that's like my fantasy hockey too. I was supposed to win last week and then the weekend came along. I had five guys hit injury and that was it. I lost the week. I have this Bartel. I was telling Zach, I have the second most points. Barker let me know though. Shout out Barker. I had the second most points in fantasy football and I'm in seventh place. Oh, sorry. Fantasy hockey.
Fantasy hockey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it was like, because it's me, you, then Marcel. Yeah. I noticed that your goals against is, or points against is pretty high.
Yeah. But that's okay.
You're still floating up there too. Yeah, it is a long season. It's what, we're only like week 10 now? Because we're recycling again. It's week 9 or week 10.
Yeah.
Because I'm playing Nick again. So, I mean, what, there's 28 weeks in the season or something like that? 27? Yeah, so
we're not even halfway there yet.
Oh, I mean, but like what, you're 7th and almost as close. Like if you're only one or two wins away, right? So I'm being, I think so, like top four. Anyways.
Yeah. So anyways, how you boys doing? You guys good?
Yeah. Not too bad. Just, you know, healing up.
Yeah. Doing, taking care of that rib.
Trying to. Big days at work and all that stuff. So yeah. Gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah.
Nice, exactly. Yeah. I'm still riding high from Sunday's big F1 win. Max Verstappen took the pole, took the world championship. It's fucking unreal.
You are jazzed.
And energized from that, and then jazzed up from arguing with people online for the last hour and a half. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock and roll here.
Yeah, you know all the dirt.
Verstappen almost passed Hamilton there, eh?
Man, with it the was the
car.
I know. I know this isn't the F1 podcast, but holy cow, it was a fitting ending to the year, honestly. Yeah, it was so close, it was so crazy, and the last lap was absolutely bananas. So
for anyone that's doesn't watch F1 or whatever, look into the kind of the history. It's what, the second time ever that two guys finished the exact same points. It was like half of a point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they raced to win it, and it came down to the final lap. So it was pretty exciting. So if you get a chance, turn that on. It's like a 5-minute little thing. I'm sure Zach maybe could steer you in the right way. He's got a few of them. So.
Oh yeah.
I'm hearing more and more about it all the time.
Yeah.
Zach, you were the very first person I heard it from, and this is not long ago. And then I've heard it pop up in other ways. I heard it pop up in another hockey podcast I listened to. They were talking about it. My parents, of all people, they don't watch sports. Yeah. And they said they're at someone's house and they had F1 on and they really liked it. And they're thinking about watching more. I was like, what?
Well, I think
it's a good sport.
Yeah, a lot of it's been fueled by the new Netflix series, Drive to Survive, which this season that just happened, the 2021 season, hasn't been released yet. It'll be released early next year because they've been filming all season, obviously. Mm. But they've got the last 3 years. So it's 18, 19, and 20 are on there. And it just it shows you so much more drama. Like it makes it, I don't know. I always figured that whoever had the fastest car won, which ironically up until this year was always kind of true for the last 7 years with Mercedes. But you get to see more of the drama and learn more about the sport. And so I think that's kind of fueling it in North America. But then even this last couple of weeks, I'm watching TSN Sports Center at night, and now they're running F1 packages. And it's like, I've never seen that on Sports Center or on Sportsnet or anything here. Now they're running F1 packages in their highlight reels.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'll check it out eventually.
It's unreal, man. You'll be hooked. I know if you like sports and competition, you're going to be hooked. It's unavoidable.
You don't get hooked on the 3 a.m. starts so. Though.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm usually up at 4:30 anyway, so for me it's like I can wake up half hour earlier.
There you go.
Yeah,
I don't wake up before the sevens. I don't wake up before the sevens.
Oh yeah,
6:30 is like early.
I don't sleep.
I wake up at 5.
I just run off of coffee.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess we can roll into hockey news. I kind of got us rolling before we actually started the episode, so we can roll.
Know we were recording. I didn't. Went to the big steel.
Yeah,
just everyone knows.
I started thinking, oh, we're recording already.
All right,
that was awesome for the podcast.
One action.
Yeah, so hit the rewind button here. So we had talked about just about league wide news. We were talking about Khudobin being placed on waivers by the Stars, which is interesting because obviously the Stars came into the year with kind of this. I mean, ultimately, like a four-headed monster in net. They had Ben Bishop, who is still coming in on IR, hoping to resume play shortly. Well, we just found out last week that he's shelved for a degenerative knee issue, so he's retired. And then they also signed Holtby, and they had Ottinger, kind of their goalie of the future, in the wings for a little bit now. But then I guess they couldn't find any trading partners for Khudobin because now he's all of a sudden on the block, or not even on the block. He's on the waiver wire. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering who you guys thought might be picking him up. I mean, the kind of the top team that I had in mind was the Oilers, but I don't know if you guys were thinking of anybody else. I mean, there's a few teams out there right now.
Is Mike Smith still hurt?
He's scheduled to come back, I think, next week or within the next 2 weeks. But even then, like, Smith, you know, he's not exactly the most consistent with his health. And then, I mean, Koskinen, and who else do they have? Skinner, Stuart Skinner. So, I mean, I don't know. If I was in Edmonton, I'd be pretty comfortable picking up Khudobin. Or I also still have a feeling that Fleury's going to get moved by the trade deadline. So, and I think Edmonton could be a pretty big target for Fleury as well.
Yeah, the fact that you say that is, I actually thought he was going to go to Chicago, and then with Fleury moving, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that would be a place that he would go, but
maybe he doesn't want to go there with all the.
I think he's going to, it's just, there's no
proof. Is there drama there, or what? Like, is there talk of him being traded, or?
I think with the organization, there's a lot of drama, right? And I don't think that's something he likes to be surrounded with, and I don't think the losing atmosphere and how everything's going. I don't think he's happy there. He didn't really want to go there in the first place, right? He was already hesitant, almost contemplated retiring, not even to go there, right? But then vowed to kind of stick it out. And I feel like he's like, I don't want to be here, and he's going to try to get traded, right? He doesn't have much time left in his career. Why would he want to go sink with the team that's doing nothing, right? So,
did you guys see the Habs fans chanting his name after the shutout?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, in Montreal, he shut them out and he broke records. And
was that his 500th win?
Third most winning his goalie, and
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so the Habs fans, the whole arena.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. They haven't had much to cheer about this year, so that's cool for them to kind of. I mean, Fleury's obviously a hometown guy too.
Of course, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That was nice. Yeah, it was cool. Very cool to see.
Yeah, maybe like a Price did it here, right?
Totally, yeah, absolutely. In BC, I think Vancouver fans would be cheering for Pricey as well.
Yeah, that's cool. So yeah, I guess to answer your question, Zach, I mean, Edmonton would be a deadly location. Toronto
could. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just got Mrazek though back, so he's back in the carousel.
I mean, you're a feed soup as much as you can.
Yeah. He's been playing well this year. It'll be interesting what happens at the end of the year when it comes time for his contract to be signed. But
Mrazek's back. When did he get back? Is he just back, or
he just played them? He just played their last game or two games ago. I know, because I floated him on my waiver wire in one of the fantasy leagues because I needed a goalie to fill in that night.
Fantasy's awesome to keep track of who's injured, who's not.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. As far as tracking injuries, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the goaltending position, I think it'll be interesting. I know that Gibson just left with an injury as well on Saturday. So yes. Anaheim's been playing, you know, well. They're punching well above their weight class this year. So maybe they want to try to keep that momentum going and pick up Khudobin, because they've been, again, like, I mean, right now they're first in the Pacific. Is that going to be sustainable? I doubt it. They also have some games in hand, obviously, on Calgary and Edmonton, but regardless, they're up there. They're 16-9-5 right now. And if they want to try to keep this momentum going, then Khudobin might be a good cheap pickup for them. If Gibson is expected to miss some extra time. Another one that I think of, and I know that salary is always an issue there, but somehow they're kind of the West's version of the Leafs, sorry, and they're able to circumvent cap and find all these little loopholes to stuff their money into. But the Vegas Golden Knights, you know, like with Laurent Boissois and obviously Robin Leonard's the starter, but a team like Vegas would intrigue me because they have a pretty big drop off from their number one to number two. Not that I think Leonard is as good as, you know, the goaltending that Fleury provided for them, but they do have a noticeable drop off between their one and two starters. So I don't know. Vegas would be interesting if they can make the cap work. But other than that, like, I'm just trying to, I mean, obviously I pay more attention to the West than the East, being, you know, a Canucks fan, especially in the Pacific, but those two teams do kind of stand out to me that they could make a move for them.
Yeah, man. You know what's sad? I was just looking at fantasy just to see the injury updates.
Yep.
And so the top three top available players. If you go to like the players part and just top available players, the top three guys are guys that I dropped in the last 2 weeks.
Tyler Seguin.
This is disgusting. Tyler Seguin, Alex Martinez, and Ryan O'Reilly.
I picked up to Seguin and put him in. He got me like 9 points. I dropped him.
And then you dropped
him. That's all I needed for one game.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, man. All three of them are dog shit.
One last guess, if I'm looking at where Khudobin could end up, is Colorado. Again, if they can make it work with cap. I haven't looked at any situations, but they've got Darcy Kemper and then nothing. They've
Frank
got
Luce. Like, yeah, but, gets injured every year.
He's always injured. He's, you know, he's not even backing up Kemper right now. Kemper went down for a bit. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here about teams that I think they could do it.
Who's backing up Markstrom right now?
Markstrom is a
Vlad or whatever, right?
Vladar, yeah, Dan Vladar, who's been playing lights out, by the way, for them.
They're goalie. That's the best goalie tandem in the league.
Yeah, like, I think both, it is right now.
Yeah, no. Like they're lighting it up.
Yeah, they've been unbelievable. I'm just trying to find where's the goals against. Can I rank it by goals against here? I'm trying to do it on my phone. It's not working very well, but. Yeah, they've been lights out in net. Again, I think a lot of that stems from the coaching system of Sutter, but it's pretty unbelievable to watch.
I mean, Markstrom, we as Canucks fans, we know he's how good he can be.
Oh, and, big time!
Know, like he's absolute stud. The only thing is how long he can stay healthy for, right?
Yeah, he's bound to get hurt.
I mean, we as Canucks fans, we're sitting here and we know the Calgary fans are going to get that alert of disappointment when he's out 4 to 6 weeks. But hopefully their backup left ladder can step up. I don't know if he can. I think he's kind of riding the coattail of Markstrom, be able to come in on a hot team with a hot team, right? Yep. We'll see what happens, though.
Yeah, it looks like right now the Flamers are tied for second in goals against. Carolina has the least allowed at 58 goals against in 27 games. Calgary has 62 against in 28 games. And then also actually Boston in only 24 games though, but they have 62 against, so they'll be second overall in goals against, it looks like. And that's it's pretty impressive.
Very. So speaking of all stars and top goalies and stuff, did we mention Robin Leonard's name? I think he recently has backed out of the Olympics. He will not be playing for Team Sweden.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that's a trend that's going to continue. I think we're going to see more.
I don't think he was going to be getting a call from Team Sweden anyway, but what was his reason?
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. Markstrom is going to be the starter. He might've been number three. I have to look this up now. I was always thinking Lundqvist, and I'm like, wait, you idiot. He's retired. You know what? Maybe he does. Maybe he would get a call, actually. Yeah, it looks like he probably would. Barry be him, Markstrom, and Allmark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, so I take that back. He would have probably gotten a call. But either way, what was his reasoning for pulling out?
Just all the controversy and probably COVID protocols and stuff like that. I didn't look too much into it, to be honest. But I know that I have been hearing a lot of rumors and rumbling that a lot of players are kind of on the fence on whether or not they're willing to go. There's lots of, what do you call this? Like what
turmoil, controversy,
boycotts.
Oh, yeah. Boycotting. Yeah, definitely.
Like government boycotting. So that's got to influence some decisions by players. I think we were talking about this before the show too. We don't think, at least Zach doesn't think it's going to happen, right? What do you think?
I think a lot of people. I think it's like me and Zach were talking. I think the comparison we used was what, 80-20, that they're not going to go. I think it's a big possibility of them not going to the Olympics, which is sad. Yeah, I mean it's really disappointing.
It is for sure.
It's a ploy from China so they can try to get a chance to win.
Yeah, I do think I even read today that you remember how I know at least Team USA, Team Canada, I think it was Team Finland and Team Sweden all released, and probably Team Russia, but they released like the three names of players who were invited to camp or were on the roster. And I think I had just read an article today Pietrangelo was named to that three-player roster for Team Canada, and he just came out today saying he's undecided on if he even wants to go. So I think you're right as far as it being a trend. I think that we're going to see more players, and I think obviously the more political boycotts are one reason, a big reason, and the other one is I believe that the players, if they get tested positive for coronavirus, they're going to have to self-isolate in China for 2 weeks. So, I mean, that's huge, right? Like that affects the teams, that affects the players, that affects their lives. Like that affects everything. What if they're there with their family and their kid tests positive, everybody else does, well, they're all going to be there for the 2 weeks, right? I don't know. It's a unique situation. And I would definitely kind of, you know, what Steve was saying, I'd say it's probably at an 80% chance they aren't going at this point.
Yeah. Well, even we were just reading there, Steve, I don't know if you're in on this yet, but it says Sebastian Aho, he's on COVID protocol now and he's got to isolate in Vancouver. So
really,
yeah. So just imagine if that happened in China, right? Like, and I thought about that too, when I was traveling, when I was coming from Dublin to Canada, to Vancouver. So they canceled all direct flights. So I had to fly into London and then go from London to Toronto, Toronto to Vancouver. And I had to get my COVID test in London. So that I had to fly in a day before to get the COVID test the next day, wait for the results, and then get on a plane, right? Because it had to be within 72 hours or whatever. And if I tested positive in that time, like I'm stuck in London and now I have to stay in. And I mean, for them, the money issue is not a huge deal. But for me, I was trying to think like, fuck, 2 weeks in a hotel.
Yeah.
I'd be screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and for them, not so much the money, but the families being away and, you know, the uncertainty being in a foreign country.
I'm going to have to run quickly. My son is acting up, my baby, but just keep going and I'll jump back in here as soon as I can.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know, Steve, like what are your, now without getting too political, what are your thoughts on the whole situation? Like, so, cause I think a big thing is China's COVID protocols. Mm-hmm.
What they want, you have to be there 2 weeks before too, I believe, right?
Yeah.
To quarantine before you can go in to the Olympics. So it's, and then if you have to wait, if you get it, then it's another 2 weeks after.
Yeah.
So you're basically gone for almost 2 months, right? So I think a lot of owners and teams are going to start talking to players and hope, try and convince them to not go. And I feel like that's going to be a big enough scare for it. I don't think it has to do with much with anything else. There's political stuff and there's a lot of other things going on, but I think that's the major thing, is just the time lost.
Would you watch still if there was no NHLers?
Yeah, we've done that before. Remember, they had it. What year was it? They did that.
I didn't watch.
I don't know, Mason Raymond and stuff. I mean, probably come back and play. Yeah, I mean, I watch. It's still hockey, right? It's still Team Canada. It may not mean the same because it's not the best of the best, but it's still a gold medal either way, right? So, I mean, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Well, there's all their hockey on.
That's true. But they were also talking that we don't know if. Because there's a 2 week break there, right? The NHL takes a 2 week break, so they don't know if that 2 week break will actually continue, or if they'll change the schedule of all the teams.
That might be on a dependency of how many guys are going or staying, right? I mean, if the majority is leaning one way or the other, they might persuade their vote.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's gonna be a weird little bit to figure out. From just the news today and everything, I feel like it's not going to happen, which is rough. So,
So I've got another topic we can move on to quickly, but should we talk some shit about Zach? I feel like every time you disappear, we talk smack about you.
I always talk shit about me. This is my time to talk shit about Zach.
Yeah. Like maybe his stupid, yeah, the midget, his stupid, stupid helmet that is, I always see on his microphone there.
Oh yeah. Oh, what?
That's his Plaid Jack of Losser sticker.
Oh yeah.
He's always wearing a short. No, it is. It is a cool logo, actually.
I like. It's him. I'm pretty sure.
Right? I was gonna ask you. Is it him?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's him. Like, I'm pretty sure it's his face.
We should ask him.
I mean, if I was him, I probably won't use his face. But
yeah, you'd have to use your own face. Like, you'd have to pay just royalties otherwise. It's like the Nirvana baby.
Yeah, no doubt. Eh? You just take the person never finds out.
Yeah.
You play the loophole thing.
Yeah, but he's got enough listeners.
Go check out his podcast, though, if you guys haven't. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's promoted, but I enjoy it. I know a few other listeners have messaged us and shown us their Spotify top five, where it was, and they had us in his podcast there. So
yeah, his podcast is The Plaid Jacket Philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time he's talking about trades. If you're in trades, it's a good podcast.
Blue collar.
Yeah. I like listening to it. He's got a good following.
Yeah.
He has some good guests on there. So yeah, check that out. For sure. Anyways, for sure. Enough pumping his fucking tires. He'll never believe it. He'll never believe it if we tell him we just did that.
I know, right? You guys are talking so much shit. I feel like I should talk more shit, but
yeah. you know what I want to talk with you right now, Steve? Let's talk World Juniors.
Oh shit!
Yeah, you post a little thing in the chat group there.
Yeah, our team looks absolutely stacked.
Yeah,
like it's gonna be that. It doesn't even look fair. Like it's our team's. Is, I don't know. For me, I think it's probably one of the best World Junior teams that we've had in a long time. In comparison back to what was it, 2004, 2005, with like Crosby, Tavares, all those guys.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be.
That was a good year.
Yeah. I mean, Bedard's getting, he's one of the 16-year-olds. There's only, what, 4 or 5 16-year-olds to ever play. We get to experience him come out, and the guy's an absolute phenomenon.
I can't wait to watch him play.
Oh, buddy. And then we have Shane Wright, who's supposed to be the next number one overall pick. He's always supposed to be a stud. I mean, we got Logan Stankoven, the first overall pick last year.
Yeah.
We got Dylan Garand, who is, I believe, Tampa Bay or Vegas? Maybe Vegas. One of them.
I don't remember. One of
it's
those,
Tampa Bay or Vegas. It's one of the two. So he's on down there.
Yeah.
But the team is just, you know, Mason McTavish, just stacked. I can't wait to see the talent. I think these are going to come together nicely.
Yeah. I saw their jerseys too. They're cool. I'm pretty sure.
I mean, that's kind of what we started this whole podcast about, was
the junior players
so we could do the World Juniors. So
yeah, that's right.
Let us know if that's something you guys like, if you want us to do a special on World Juniors and or keep you up to date during the World Juniors. Give us your feedback. We're totally open to that. So
yeah,
I mean, we're have to fill our time with something, so
it's true. Dude, like, yeah. And man, Justin Sordiff has been so exciting to watch.
Yes, he's on Team Canada as well, and he's a local giant player. Man, yeah. he's looking good. It's just stacked. I mean, they have Owen Power.
Every time Carson Lambos. Like every time he touches the puck, man, he's just so strong on it. And like, well, you haven't been to a game yet, but the seats are like on the goal line, front row, right? So you see him working in the corners, like you're right in his face when he's doing his stuff in the offensive zone. We're on the end where Giants shoot twice. Mm-hmm. And man, he's just so impressive. Like mm-hmm. you can see he's an NHL caliber out there.
Yeah.
It's
very he's a 20-year-old cool. too, right?
I think he ages out next year. Yeah.
Age out next year, yeah. Or this is his last year or next year is his last year.
Let me double check on that. I don't even remember when he got drafted.
I don't know. He's been around for a while.
He got drafted by Florida, though.
Nice.
So he will be going to their AHL team soon if he doesn't make the squad. He's 19, so.
Oh, yeah. So
March 24th. So he's got another year in him.
That's not too bad. Yeah, that guy's a stud. If he even makes it, he might get called up. But like I mentioned to you previously with like Owen Power, and he's the number one overall pick for Buffalo, and Carson Lambos, who got picked in the first round last year, Both those guys are 6'5" or 6'6" D men, right? Yeah. And it's not like we have a bunch of small guys. Our teams will be big, fast, strong, and powerful. It's not gonna be all three of our goalies, Kosa, Grand, and two, I can't remember the other goalie too. They're all of them studs. Like it's gonna be exciting. So I haven't checked out the US roster, but I just don't see how it can even compare. So,
man, I have been so busy that it's like I haven't even Christmas hasn't even hit me yet. Like we haven't put up our tree in the house yet or nothing. Like I'm surprised
you have anything unpacked yet.
Like I know, man, it's been so busy, and like the reason I'm saying that is just because I haven't really felt like the Christmas spirit is like, you know, it hasn't really hit me yet. But I know it's only like 10 days away. Almost 12 days.
It's close, man. So, it's close. And do you get time off work?
I will be getting time off work. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll be able to watch the whole tournament, which is pretty sweet. I'm excited for.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Julie and I, she'll get sick of hockey, I'm sure, so much. Because I'll watch all the games, man. I'll watch Russian, Sweden, Finland, USA, you know, as long as they're not playing like Kazakhstan or something, I'll basically watch it.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Even
it's
so,
such
it's just
good hockey. It's the
it's just fun to watch, man. And then you get, and the great thing about it is you learn so much about the players, the new backgrounds on guys. You kind of see where they're coming from, who they're playing, if they're draft eligible, if they've already been drafted. You kind of see the upcoming guys, you know what I mean? You're seeing maybe some guys that you even know about that, oh crap, that's our guy that drafted, you know what I mean? Like, I think Vancouver's got 5 or 6 guys going, right? So, or like Vancouver draft picks or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pumped for it.
Yeah. Me too. Okay. Well, Zach messaged us and said that his little one is sick. Poor guy. So he said we can kick him off the screen, but I like seeing his empty chair there. It kind of looks better this way.
I feel so. Without him, it's just weird now. You know what I mean? We're like a thruple.
Yeah. So we'll keep his screen up there. Hopefully he returns. Let's move on.
I think he's not in here. He's gonna come down, like pick his nose or something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully he's wearing pants.
Scratch his ass.
Yeah.
Sniffing it.
Oh, gross.
We should just ignore him. He's like, what?
Yeah, we should. We should pretend his audio is not working.
Yeah.
Dude, do you want to do that? Let's totally that. Troll him. Yeah.
100% I'm down. Yeah. He's gonna listen back on this and fucking hate us. So. All right, let's kick it forward, I guess.
Yeah, let's move on to your Vancouver Canucks. We might as well dive right in.
Yeah.
So we had a message from one of our listeners, and right after we released the episode, like literally. The episode, well, I released it in the morning. It takes a little time to get on all these services, but I got the notification on my phone saying your podcast is now available on Apple Podcast. And then about an hour later, I got another bling and Jim Rutherford got hired in Vancouver. So
it's our curse, man.
Yeah.
It's our curse. Like it's happened so many times that we've literally, And then we'll do this and we're like, something's about to happen. We'll wait out, just wait a day. And this is Travis Green firing. Like we thought it was about to happen the first time. Like, we'll wait a day, maybe we can catch it. Doesn't happen. We do the episode, but boom, it happens.
Yeah. That's so true.
Oh, yeah. We can't catch a break.
No. So anyways, I think it's great news. Mm-hmm.
Stan Steele, best GM of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Undefeated.
Undefeated Stan, baby. Super Stan.
Let's go.
Super the steamer.
Stan. Yeah.
I don't know. Challenge me. You tell me who's better. The guy that has to make any trades, they have to make any moves, they have to call anyone up, wins games. That's all he does. He comes and wins.
Go ahead. No, please.
Oh, I was just going to continue on in that and go on. I think it was a really good pickup for him. Stan Smith only kind of wanted to fill in. He made that perfectly clear. I thought he was going to have a little bit longer tenure.
Yeah. they kind of said he would in the press conference. They kind of lied a bit there.
They did, but I honestly think looking into it, I think Stan Smith was all for it. He wanted what was best for the team and that they can get Jim Rutherford. I think the whole organization was pumped on. I know Bruce Brojo openly came out and said that was one of the smartest moves that Knoxville made. It's someone that's bringing experience, who's won championships and knows how to build a team. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm absolutely excited. This is I know Andrew and Zach were pumped start of the season. I was kind of on the fence, on my heels. Now I turned around. I'm on the bandwagon. We're going. it's going to be turned around. I'm really excited for the rest of this year. So
yeah,
big moves, big plays.
We got that text message after the Carolina game. Woke up this morning and my phone says Stephen Bartel says I'm on the wagon, boys. I'm on the wagon.
I'm back on.
Yeah. Well, it's you know
it's
what.
Been it's been a few years. It's been a few years.
Yeah, it's true, man. But it is exciting, and he's not afraid to pull the trigger, right? Like he moved people in Pittsburgh. He didn't think they were the right fit. He thought he could make the team better, and he moved them. Carl Hagelin, or someone else there too. But
was it Casper?
Sutter. He dropped Sutter on us, right? So. Anyways, he's not afraid to pull the trigger on names, on big names. Now, when I say big names, I don't want everyone to start freaking out. I don't think Petey or Hughes are on that list. Maybe Brock Besser, but that'll be up to him.
I think we need to give the system a bit to kick in. Like, I mean, we talked about this last podcast. It's like before the win streak happened, you know what I mean? We're like, we got to give it some time. Let's see how this actually settles in, right? And we got to do it win or lose. We got to see how they come in. I think Bruce's scheme is going to fit a lot better with our team. Mm. I think it's an almost instant impact. We can see that. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, so that's the thing too. Like, is what's his vision? Does he come in? Does he watch? I mean, he's gonna talk to people, right? I think he's already said that he wants to come in. He wants to have meetings with Stan Smith and the Sedins. He wants to have meetings with staff and see
Brian Johnson and the other lawyer guy.
See what's going on around the team. And then what does he do, right? That's what we're just sitting here waiting for. It's funny because, you know, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're waiting for someone to get fired in the organization. And now we're waiting to see what Rutherford's going to do. Like, is he going to sit back and watch the team for a little while? You know, is he going to say, okay, I know what we need. And here, this is what I'm going to do. And he could come right in and start making splashes.
Yeah. I think he can. He's not, like you said, you referred to earlier, he's not scared to make those big moves. Now, here's something a little bit does concern me, is that we might give up a lot more of our future to win now mentality. If we win, it's all fine and dandy, and, you know, I don't know what will happen. I don't even know what happened if the Canucks won the Stanley Cup.
Well, I think he said that he's looking to build to the future. So I don't think he's going to be moving too much in terms of picks and stuff like that, because I don't think we have much to give up anyways, and prospects. But I also don't think he means future as in like a 4 to 6 year rebuild, because he's what, 72? Like, yeah. I don't think he's, you know, he's probably got a 2-3 year window as well.
There's gotta be that talk between the Aquilinis though, that of what that window is, right? He has a crystal clear idea, and I can't see it being any more than 3, and 3 being the max.
Yeah.
I think we're in a 2-year window. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Zach, how you doing, man?
Good. Good. Sorry, I missed that. Had to put my kid back to bed.
Good, buddy.
I don't fuck Steve. You fucked it up. We're going to troll him. You big dummy. We just talked about this.
I am an idiot, man. Like, what do you expect?
I'll stop getting stoned.
Not.
I'm on painkillers.
I'm just stupid. I'm just dumb. I forget shit.
Sorry, Zach. I don't mean to. I hope you're
oh, he's feeling better. He's fine. Oh, he's just being a baby.
To be fair, I wouldn't even know if you didn't say anything because I don't see him. Because if you're talking, I only see your face. I didn't know he's even there. So you're the one that brought it up, and you said hi, Zach. And so you're a blame me, man. I wouldn't even know he was there.
We're going to, well, you'll listen to the podcast, but we are going to pretend your audio was not working.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds good. Bummer.
Anyways, Steve, you know you can change that in your settings, right? Where you can see all three of us?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, but you're on your phone.
You're my phone. Yeah. It's so small at the time, so it's just okay. Whatever. I just...
So, Zach, we dove right into Mr. Rutherford there, and we were talking about his impact and his potential impact and what we think he's going to do in the near or future.
Did you guys get into how he's really comfortable pulling the trigger?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. we talked about Carl Hedlund. Yeah. So what I want to ask you, Zach, is now before I say this to you, I want to finish up with Steve here. So we were talking about whether or not he's going to come in, sit back. We know he wants to talk to some executives, right? He wants to talk to some of the staff. After that, does he start pulling triggers right away? Because we know he's not afraid of doing that, right? Or does he kind of see how it depends on what he believes? Does he believe that this is a playoff team, right? Because if not, then he's going to start pulling triggers right away. But if he believes that this is a playoff team that's just been underperforming, then he might sit back and see where the weaknesses lie. Now, the only thing in favor of the latter is that if things stay as they are with the Olympics, there's a roster freeze coming up where GMs actually can't make moves for an extended period of time because of the Olympics. So that could actually force his hand to maybe just take a look at where the roster's at. Otherwise, he's going to be under even more pressure because he's going to have a short window before the roster freeze and then a short window before the trade deadline.
Do you think he might make a move too early because of that then?
Potentially.
Do you think it has the potential to pressure him and to make a move if he feels? I think it's based off how the team performs, right?
Yeah.
I think we still need an upgrade.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
You don't fix what's not broken, right? You're not going to go change your light bulb if it turns on.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think we need an upgrade in D. So maybe he can work something around, pull some money out of somebody's ass. I don't know. Because we need it. But yeah.
What do you think, Zach?
I think he's going to be pretty aggressive. I tend to agree with what you guys say. Like, he's going to obviously assess the team. Like, he's pretty experienced. He's got now an experienced head coach. Like, I'm sure he's going to lean on Boudreaux and what he's seeing. Same with guys like Bradshaw, who've probably been here all year, and they'll have a better idea of where the turnaround has come and what kind of it looked like kind of on either sides of the coin here. So I don't know. I'm interested. I do think he's going to start wheeling and dealing a little bit. I would be, you know, particularly looking at Besser, especially as he's kind of heating up, because that trade value is going up. I mean, yeah, he's also more important to the team, but that trade value is going up and he's going to be needing a contract after this year. So I know we talked about kind of possible trade targets last week, but I think he's going to be pretty active. I do. I think he'll probably take a couple of weeks to see what the team's doing. I don't know when that roster freeze takes place, but it's going to complicate things this year, but I don't really see him staying too still. Just based on his track record, I think he's going to be trying to do something.
Yeah. I would hate to see Besser go. And I think Pettersson would as well. I've mentioned that before on the podcast.
Yeah. I agree with you.
But,
I think that Fiala for Besser trades probably out the window now.
I think old Jim 2.0 could be better than that anyways.
I think so too. I think it was an undersale.
Can we call him Jim 2.0?
Do you want to call him Jim Point?
I was gonna say, do you want it?
I don't know if we want to put that name on that. Yeah. Put that curse on me, Ricky Bobby.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways, it'll be exciting to see what happens. I think he's in Vancouver now. I think he's arrived either today or tomorrow. He is here because he did the press conference with the Aquilinis, or Aquilini singular, which I didn't watch. Did you guys watch that? I sent it to you. I really sent it to you so I could watch it later, and I never did.
Man, I do that too. I never end up watching them.
Yeah. I watched like the first like 15 seconds at work and then forgot about it. Yeah,
it's short. It's only 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, I was at work and then something happened. Yeah. I put it on the phone. And then
fair enough.
Forgot about.
Yeah, no, I had seen actually a headline on the news here where they were talking about how he's kind of trying to bring some accountability back into the fold, I believe the headline was. Canucks turn to Rutherford to change culture and hold people accountable. So, you know, again, like I just like the fact that the team is going to these more experienced guys in the positions. Like, again, like Boudreaux wasn't my first choice for coach, but I'm not sitting here complaining when we're 4-0 since he's come on board. Right. And then Rutherford, to me, like, I really like what he does. He knows how to build a winner. He's not afraid to pull the trigger. He's not going to kind of sit back idly like some of these other GMs and let the team kind of work its way out of it. He's going to be active. He's going to be taking a part or taking ownership of this team. And I'm excited, to be honest. I think he's a good person to bring in, a good hockey mind. He's experienced and obviously an ex-goalie. So he's smart as hell.
That goes or crazy. One of the two.
Yeah.
Both for sure. Both.
Yeah, and I also read here that it says Rutherford says basically Demko is the building block to success in Vancouver.
I think that's the smartest thing you could say.
I think that's plenty fair. He's signed in. He's locked in here for 4 more years after this year. Really reasonable cap hit considering what he's doing. I don't know if you guys already went over the fact that he was first star of the week.
No, we didn't.
Oh, 4-0-0. I believe it's a 1.2 goals against and a 0.962 save percentage, I believe. I don't have the article in front of me, but it is insane. And I mean, we've been talking about it before. I mean, we didn't pump his tires enough at the beginning of the year, but then we started talking about him more. He's been doing that all year. He just hasn't had a team playing around him that accentuated it, but he's been deadly all year and we're finally starting to really see it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does kind of work his way up the goaltending ranks this year, stats wise and discussion wise, because I think if this team does really have it turned around, like we kind of expected they're capable of at the beginning of the year, Demko is going to be a massive part of it. And he's going to really start to get some recognition. That 5x5 contract is going to look like a steal.
Mm. Oh yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
And, I'm also seeing here, boys, that it says Jim Rutherford won't rush to hire a GM or make trades. So there you go. Question answered.
I think it's time, Andrew. I think it's time to go with your nickname for Demko.
No, it's too early. Zach still thinks it's
better. I can see it. It's 4-0. First hour of the week.
He's 4-0. That is pretty impressive. He's doing
4-0. Well. I'll tell you what, whatever it is.
Tell you what, boys. If we make the playoffs, he can have the nickname. Is that fair?
We'll see. He's got to get 6 business.
We'll see. 6 business.
Oh, you're putting this guy on too high of a pedestal, I think.
He's the GOAT for a reason. I gotta pay my respects.
He's the GOAT.
But I am excited about this. I don't know who he's going to bring in for a GM or whatever, but I think he's a good hockey mind to have at the head of the organization, along with guys like Stan Smith that we were talking about, who just, they really care about Vancouver. And I know we talked about it last week, but I just figured I'd bring it up again, is that I do really like that hiring of Scott Walker. And just after what he said about Vancouver and how, you know, this is his city, this is his team. And you need more guys like that in the organization to really take ownership of it. Cause I know we had talked about it before, but you know, before the Greener firing, like you didn't see much ownership or much accountability on the ice out of, save for a few guys, you know, Demko, Hughes at times, and Miller were really the three that stood out to me. And he's really starting to, he's taking ownership of that. And I think that's going to bleed through the whole team.
Yeah, I think so too. Should we touch on old Brucey real quick since before we wrap it up here?
Don't sing that song to him.
Yeah, he doesn't like the song.
He doesn't like that song.
He should never have said anything if he didn't like it.
I know, no.
It's going to get louder.
Yeah. Shen, apparently Luke Shen said it to him in the hallway. No way. Shut up with that song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Apparently he was at a restaurant and people were singing it and he just went like, shh.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to there. That's hilarious. Yeah.
Brucey's never coached in a Canadian city, has he? In the NHL, it's just in Minnesota, Anaheim, and Washington.
Yeah.
No, but he said he wanted to.
Oh yeah, well, like
everyone wants to until they coach again and then realize
exactly
these people are crazy.
Yeah, they sing stupid songs.
Yeah,
drink Tim Hortons.
Better not lose, Bruce.
Yeah.
Guys, pound of the fist. Better not lose.
He's probably asking the boys to blow one just to, so people could stop singing the song.
Yeah, no doubt.
Once things mellow out a bit, the song might stop until the playoffs. If we make it around the playoffs, it might come back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got to come up with a new one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so anyways, he's been a fun man. Like, it's been so much fun to watch him post games. I said this last episode, and it hasn't changed. I'm watching post game interviews again. It's cool. It's a lot of fun. Steve, do you have any stuff to say on Bruce? I know you wanted to talk.
Yeah, this is like my favorite front office of the Canucks I think ever had. Like, I know it's really early, but just like, just like Zach like alluded to there, was just, you know, Scott Walker coming in caring so much, Bruce coming in, you know, bringing in Jim Rutherford, you know, having guys like Stan Spiegel will step in if they need to do it, then instantly step back out and not, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's playing as a team. Nobody's better than anyone else. They're trying to make it work. You got the Sedins that, you know, love the city. I don't know. It's exciting.
This is the first time that we've had coaching and general managers with experience.
Yeah.
Since the Aquilinis started owning this team, I think. Like, if you look back, you got Vigneault, Desjardins, we had Torts, but wasn't Benning the GM, and this is his first GM gig. Nonis, it was his first GM gig. The list goes on. You know, we've done nothing but hire rookie GMs and rookie coaches. That made rookie mistakes. Yeah. Right. And sometimes we didn't have a rookie coach, but it was always behind a rookie GM. So,
yeah.
Now we finally have a coach and a general, well, not a general manager yet, but a hockey ops guy who's, you know,
he's going to be generally managing the team.
Right. and they've got experience.
Don't accept it for what it is.
Yeah. But I'm also not surprised that it happened. So, like, I mean, the press conference with Aquilini, Francesco, and Stan Smiel. Francesco was like, I don't want to do this. He's like, I don't want to be up here talking to you, basically. Sure. they're like, do you want a GM that talks to the media more? And he's like, yeah, so I don't have to do it. He literally said that. So
yeah, so they're probably on it fast. Yeah.
It's not surprising that he hired a hockey ops guy that that is not afraid to talk.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anyways, anything else you guys got before we wrap it up here?
Oh, yeah, they're too crazy. What is there?
No, what do we got? I'm always so
what's around the league. Yeah, what's going on in the league? Always, big news, Zach. You're always on top of that crap.
We already talked about league news at the beginning of the podcast.
No, there's like something probably crazy that's going on that Zach's hiding from us.
I share it all with you guys. I don't think there's anything too crazy going on right now. I mean, I think the biggest storylines are the surrounding the Olympics, and then I like to follow kind of when a bigger name hits the waiver wire and try to speculate where he's going to go. So we already talked about that with Khudobin. Looks like Robbie Fabry signed a nice 3-year deal to stick with the Red Wings. I don't know. There's not a whole ton of things that really jump out at me anyway.
So we've got
Ovechkin still playing well.
Yeah.
We've got next three games for your Vancouver Canucks? Oh, four games. We got four. Oh, four games this week. So tomorrow night, it's Monday night for those of you listening. So you probably, this would be yesterday's news for you. But anyways, we play the Blue Jackets at 7 p.m. in Vancouver. It'll be the last one of our road trip. So, or sorry, home, our homestand.
Yep.
So yeah, other than that game in Pittsburgh, if we win on Tuesday, we would have swept the, Boudreaux would sweep the homestand.
Shit.
If I don't know,
so we go for
I shouldn't jinx it. So
there we go.
Anyways, and then we got the Sharks. We're at the Sharks, and then we're back home for Zach's favorite team on Saturday.
Who's that? Oh yeah, the Leafs at 4 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tons.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
You gonna go, Zach?
I'm not gonna go. Yeah, it doesn't have to do anything to do with the team. I'm not gonna be there.
Yeah,
but I'll be watching. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, we'll be texting that day. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll definitely, I don't know if I will be. Oh, crap. Anyway, so you can fill me in, Zach. But and then Sunday we got the Yotes at home.
Well, that better be a win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good.
So, that's something we could talk about. You guys heard about Arizona with the minority get kicked out of the arena? Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Call.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So I heard this update, and then that's not actually happening. But for those that don't know, I was at December 20th, apparently, because they didn't pay their fees. Mm-hmm. The arena was going to lock the rent, basically, in taxes or wherever it was. The arena was going to lock the doors on them, so they'd come up with a certain amount of money. I'm sure the NHL bailed them out, and Bettman went over their savings, little precious franchise.
That would be my guess, too.
He's also stated that they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, we'll see about that. That's why it was.
Yeah.
But they can't pay the rent. You know what I mean?
It's crazy, man. I don't pretend to be somebody involved with the NHL team scheduling or team decisions like that, but to grip so hard on this failing franchise for so many years, when you do have other viable fan bases with arenas built with, you know, fans that'll be filling the seats right away, I don't understand it. Like, I understand wanting to start a market in the desert, but now you've got a flourishing market in Vegas. Like, you've got teams sprinkled around all the way down the southern coast or whatever, through California, now in Vegas. Like, you've got a presence there. I don't know why you're holding on so tight to a state that's essentially, you know, for vacationers, for Canadian, like
snowbirds
who go down there. Yeah, exactly. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I don't know why they grip so hard on Arizona. It seems more like an ego thing. Like, he just doesn't want to let it go at this point.
I agree. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't know.
It's funny.
Eventually they have to move.
Yeah, I think so too. And the comments on all the forums saying it was about Matthews going back there. He's like, I guess he won't be going back to Arizona now. But if he's saying he is, maybe there's something that Bettman knows that we don't. He's trying to bring Matthews to Arizona to boost up there. I mean, that would be the biggest thing to do, right? Is you bring one of the best players or one of the biggest names in hockey to a dying franchise and try to save it. What happened to Crosby, right?
Yeah, that's true. Nobody likes to talk about Pittsburgh, right? Being almost gone. Yeah, so, that's true.
And what they do, Pittsburgh gets number one overall. They get the player of the future. Next thing you know, they're thriving franchise. Okay. So
yeah,
they bring Matthews in. Maybe Matthews brings his butt buddy, Marner. And who knows, right? They can win the regular season and fail in the playoffs.
Here, Mitchie, hold my purse. Let's get on this airplane.
How's your tan?
God, yeah.
19.
It's interesting. I don't know.
Oh, it's 21 down there.
I would just move the team and get it over with. And you don't have these headlines anymore. There's not all this speculation. And, you know, they're going to have butts in seats if they go to Montreal. They're going to have butts in seats in Austin. They're going to have, I don't know. To me, it's crazy. It just seems more like an ego thing at this point, just not wanting to give up.
Yeah, you just want to fail.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Well, thanks a lot. That was a good epi. Can't wait to listen to this one back.
Zach's gonna be a few surprises for him.
Yeah.
I can take it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks to you, the listeners, for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week. This is Canucks Corner, episode 14. Catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are everywhere. So, and YouTube. I was just about to say, shit, I'm getting good at this. I didn't forget one.
All right, maybe, so close.
Maybe next episode.
Yeah. You're getting there. Right. We're still early. We're still early.
Yeah. Peace out, guys.
See ya.
What up, what up?
What up, what up? Barker called me sleepy. Okay. I think because remember when you had that brain fart?
Well, yeah, it was because he was so tired from the drugs, the painkillers.
Oh, yeah. I told you cut a lot of that shit out. I was like, oh, thank God.
No, I cut it out. I put it in the blooper reel.
I laughed so hard when I heard that in the blooper reel because I didn't actually remember that in the recording that took place. And then when it showed up in the blooper reel, I was fucking howling. Like, that's been my favorite blooper reel so far.
Oh, really? Nice.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling Andrew that, like, it was such a late recording and I could see you were zoned the fuck out and I was zoned the fuck out too. So I was like, being the privileged host I am, I called on Steve to comment because I didn't know what to say.
Fuck I'm talking about, man. I'd have something and I'd focus so hard on it that you guys would change the topic and I wouldn't know what you guys are talking about. Then you'd come at me. I was like, well, I was about to talk about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I started a little bit later. So yeah, we're about an hour. That's good.
Steve was behind the ball. Steve, did you get sports in an hour or were you just talking a big game?
No, I had to. So
here comes the excuses.
But
I missed that. You kind of froze at the beginning. So was the short answer is no.
That's a you problem, Andrew. I heard it all.
Yeah, there you go. Fuck you.
Well, that's good. Then at least all three of us will actually be watching hockey games, so that's a bonus.
You guys are gonna have to fill me in. I'll be at dinner, Olive Garden. So
good.
Yeah, you don't like it?
No, it's the most overrated restaurant in the world.
I love it. It's overrated, but I do love it. I love
breadsticks.
I like it.
Salad. Bucket or pasta, you go home with free food. You literally buy your food and you leave full and then you have your food to eat.
I mean, I do the same thing. Chicken parm is amazing, but chicken parm is amazing anywhere. There's nothing special about Olive Garden. I don't know.
Hey, buddy. Oh, no. Strike one, Bartel.
Oh, sorry. One sec. I have a different. Oh, I didn't even realize you had entered the chat. I had a different screen up.
No, Bartel, you're
he's not frozen, he's just in a coma. Now I lost you.
I was just fucking
with I was like, what?
Bartel, your audio's not working.
Oh.
Hey, there he is. Nice. Yeah, blooper reel's been fun actually.